Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Vidma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 6 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered how the HPG axis works, the brain testes connection explained. Today we're getting into medications that lower testosterone in men. Last episode was the wiring diagram, brain, pituitary, testes, the HPG axis. Today is what happens when somebody steps on that wiring without realizing it. A prescription, a drug from the gym, alcohol, extra body fat, bad sleep. A lot of men assume low testosterone is just aging, or stress, or some mysterious decline that showed up one Tuesday afternoon on a lab report. Usually, it's less mysterious than that. The mistake is looking at testosterone alone and never asking why the signal changed in the first place. I see this every week. A guy comes in with fatigue, weaker workouts, lower libido, maybe erectile changes, maybe brain fog. He's already been told his testosterone is a little low. Sometimes it was drawn at 3 in the afternoon, sometimes there's no free testosterone, almost always there's no LH or FSH. That is not enough to diagnose anything, and it's definitely not enough to choose treatment. Male hypogonadism is a clinical syndrome. It requires both persistent symptoms and biochemical evidence of testosterone deficiency. Not just one low number, not just symptoms, both. And the test has to be done correctly. Morning from 07 varios to 11 sios, fasting, and confirmed on repeat testing if it's low. Acute illness can push testosterone down temporarily, so if the lab was drawn during an infection, after surgery, or while you were generally getting run over by life, that result may not represent your baseline. At Vidma, we use a total testosterone threshold of 350 nanograms per deciliter and a free testosterone threshold of 100 picograms per milliliter when symptoms persist. I care a lot about free testosterone because that's where hidden deficiency shows up. A man can have a total testosterone level that looks passable on paper and still have low free testosterone and very real symptoms. We measure free testosterone directly with equilibrium dialysis and LCMS/MS. We do not guess from SHBG. Most labs lean on immunoassays. For this problem, I prefer the more reliable route. And every single time, I want LH and FSH next to testosterone. Every time. Without them, you cannot tell whether the testes are failing or whether the brain is simply not sending enough signal. That distinction changes treatment completely. Think of it like a car. If the engine is fine but the battery is weak, you don't replace the engine. If the engine is blown, jumping the battery won't help. In hormone terms, high LH plus low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. The pituitary is shouting, the testes are not responding. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points to secondary hypogonadism. The testes may still be capable, but the upstream signal is weak. If LH is below 8, enclomiphene is often the first-line treatment for secondary and functional hypogonadism because it stimulates the body's own production and preserves fertility and testicular function. If LH is high and testosterone is low, that usually means primary hypogonadism, and those men generally need testosterone replacement. That treatment has a place, but it suppresses gonadotropins and sperm production, so it is not for men trying to preserve fertility. It's also not something Vidma prescribes. We focus on a proper diagnostic workup and on enclomiphene-based treatment when the axis is suppressed but intact. Now, let's talk about the exposures that commonly cause that suppression. Opioids are near the top of the list. This one is not subtle. Chronic opioids suppress GnRH in the hypothalamus. That lowers LH and FSH. Then the testes make less testosterone because they are not being asked to work. Last month, I saw a man in his early 40s on long-term pain medication who had been told he probably just had low T from stress. His labs, once we actually ordered them correctly, looked like classic central suppression: low testosterone, low normal LH, low normal FSH. That is a very different picture from primary testicular failure. This matters because the testes in opioid-related hypogonadism are often structurally intact. They are understimulated, not necessarily damaged. If the opioid dose is reduced or stopped, recovery can happen, but not always quickly. Some men remain symptomatic for months. If symptoms persist and LH is below 8, And clomiphene is a logical option because it works at the hypothalamus and pituitary level, raises LH, and asks the testes to produce testosterone naturally. It preserves spermatogenesis. It maintains testicular size and function. It works with the body's regulation instead of shutting it down. The other common and slightly ironic cause is exogenous testosterone and anabolic steroids. Testosterone can absolutely lead to low testosterone, especially after you stop it. I know that sounds like a bad riddle, but the physiology is straightforward. When androgen levels are high from outside the body, the brain pulls back GnRH, LH, and FSH through negative feedback. Intratesticular testosterone falls, sperm production falls, natural testosterone production falls. That's why a man who used anabolic steroids for physique goals and a man who was on prescribed testosterone can both end up with the same lab pattern after stopping. Low testosterone, very low LH, very low FSH, and a miserable few months. A lot of guys assume that if they took testosterone in the past, the answer to feeling bad later is simply more testosterone. Sometimes that becomes a loop that never ends. If the problem is a suppressed axis and the testes are still capable, enclomiphene makes more physiologic sense because it tries to restart the native signal rather than extend the shutdown. For men who truly do need testosterone replacement, it is worth knowing that the largest randomized trial, the TRAVERSE study, did not show an increase in major cardiovascular events compared with placebo over about 33 months, and it did not show increased prostate cancer risk. That's useful reassurance. It still requires monitoring, especially hematocrit, and it does not prevent or treat type 2 diabetes. Also, it suppresses fertility. So this is not a casual decision, and it is definitely not a tool for bodybuilding or anti-aging in men with normal testosterone. Then there's the larger bucket of medications that create sexual symptoms, hormonal changes, or both. Finasteride and dutasteride are good examples because they often confuse people. These drugs block 5-alpha reductase, which reduces conversion of testosterone to DHT. Some men on these drugs have sexual side effects even when total testosterone is not frankly low. Lower libido, erectile changes, altered sexual sensation. I see younger men dismissed too quickly here. They're told, your testosterone is normal, so this can't be hormonal. That's too simplistic. Symptoms still deserve a full workup with morning total testosterone, free testosterone, LH, and FSH. The issue may be altered androgen effect rather than classic biochemical testosterone deficiency, but you don't know that unless you actually test. SSRIs are another common one. They are famous for sexual side effects. Not every man on an SSRI has low testosterone, and not every sexual complaint on an SSRI is a testosterone problem. But when a man presents with low desire, erectile issues, and fatigue, the medication list matters. It always matters. Glucocorticoids can suppress testosterone too, and they are a little messier. They can affect the axis centrally, they can affect the testes, and the underlying illness that required steroids can also contribute. That's what I mean by mixed hypogonadism. More than one part of the system may be under pressure at the same time. Prolactin-raising drugs deserve special attention. Elevated prolactin suppresses GnRH. Less GnRH means less LH and FSH, and testosterone can fall as a result. If I see low testosterone with low or normal LH, especially in a man whose main complaint is low libido, I often want prolactin on the panel. It's an easy miss. Chemotherapy is different. Some agents, especially alkylating agents, can damage the testes directly. In that setting, the pituitary often responds by pushing harder, so you see high LH with low testosterone. That is primary hypogonadism. Enclomiphene is not the right tool there because the signal is already loud. The testes are the limiting factor. Ketoconazole and a few other steroid synthesis blockers can also lower testosterone by interfering directly with steroid production. Again, the medication history tells you a lot if you take 5 minutes to look at it. The biggest modifiable cause I see in actual practice, though, is not a prescription bottle. It's obesity, often traveling with metabolic syndrome and type 2 diabetes. This is functional hypogonadism, and it is incredibly common. Body fat is hormonally active. Fat tissue contains aromatase, which converts testosterone to estradiol. As body fat rises, aromatase activity rises. Estradiol goes up. Negative feedback on the HPG axis increases. LH falls, testosterone falls, more visceral fat accumulates, it becomes a self-reinforcing loop, not cosmetic, endocrine. One of the most typical patients in this category is the guy who says, "I don't understand it, I'm working harder than ever and getting softer." He's carrying more abdominal fat, sleeping poorly, maybe snoring, maybe pre-diabetic, maybe fully diabetic. His libido is down, erections are less reliable. His total testosterone is borderline or low. His free testosterone is low. LH is low normal. That is textbook functional secondary hypogonadism. Lifestyle change helps, obviously. Weight loss can improve testosterone, but it is not magic, and pretending otherwise doesn't help anybody. On average, the rise in testosterone from weight loss is often modest, around 1 to 2 nanomoles per liter, and long-term weight maintenance is hard. Depending on the study, about 60 to 86% of weight lost is regained within 3 years. That's real life. This is one reason enclomiphene plus lifestyle modification is such a practical first-line approach for functional hypogonadism when LH is below 8. You support the axis while also working on the reversible drivers. You are not forcing the system fully off the way exogenous testosterone does. Type 2 diabetes adds another layer. Men with diabetes commonly have hypogonadotropic hypogonadism, meaning low testosterone with an inappropriately low signal from the brain. Insulin resistance also appears to impair testicular function more directly. So sometimes these men have central suppression and peripheral strain at the same time. That's part of why erectile dysfunction is so common in this group. It's rarely one clean issue. Alcohol can do this too, especially heavy chronic alcohol use. That pattern can be mixed. Alcohol can directly injure testicular function, and it can also affect the central axis and hormone handling by the liver. In clinic, you'll see both versions. One man has high LH because the testes have taken a hit. Another has low normal LH because the dominant issue is suppression upstream, same symptom, different mechanism, different treatment path. Environmental toxins are a little trickier. Substances like BPA, phthalates, PFAS, and certain pesticides are plausible hormone disruptors, and the population-level data are concerning. But for one adult man sitting in front of me, it is usually hard to prove that a specific exposure caused his low testosterone. I think of these more as risk amplifiers than a standalone diagnosis in most cases. Chronic systemic disease can also depress testosterone through several pathways at once. Chronic kidney disease, lung disease, HIV, cancer, severe metabolic illness, inflammation, medication burden, poor sleep, poor nutrition, less physical activity, the whole system can get dragged down. What I do not want is a man diagnosed with chronic hypogonadism from one lab drawn while he was acutely sick in the hospital. That is not good medicine. Recover first, then retest. And then we get to the lifestyle factors men tend to dismiss because they feel too ordinary to be medical. Sleep loss, chronic stress, overtraining, low energy intake. Sleep is not optional for testosterone production. It's built into the system. A week of restricted sleep can reduce daytime testosterone by around 10 to 15% in healthy young men. I remember during residency, when sleep was more rumor than reality, I used to think fatigue was the main consequence. I was wrong. Hormones notice. If you're sleeping 5 hours a night, rotating shifts, waking up repeatedly, or living on caffeine and revenge bedtime procrastination, your endocrine system is keeping score. Chronic stress does something similar through cortisol. If cortisol stays elevated, GnRH output falls. Then LH falls, then testosterone falls. This is usually secondary suppression, potentially reversible, but only if the stressor actually changes. Saying, "I'll manage stress better while continuing the same schedule, same sleep, same habits," that usually doesn't move the needle much. I also see men who train hard enough to look healthy on social media and feel terrible in real life. Endless cardio, heavy lifting 6 days a week, not enough calories, not enough recovery. The body reads that as low energy availability. Reproduction is not the first priority in that state. Testosterone gets down-regulated. The testes may be perfectly capable. The brain is making an energy budget decision. When I explain that to gym guys, I usually compare it to trying to run a performance engine with no oil and half a tank of gas. The machine may be good. The operating conditions are not. A few common questions come up over and over. A lot of guys hear low testosterone and think one low result proves the diagnosis. It doesn't. If you slept badly, drank heavily over the weekend, had an acute illness, or drew labs in the afternoon, you may get a temporary low value. The diagnosis requires persistent symptoms and repeat morning biochemical evidence. Another common assumption is that if LH is normal, then the pituitary must be working fine. Not necessarily. In a man with low testosterone, a normal LH can actually be inappropriately normal. If testosterone is low, I expect the brain to push. If it doesn't, that is a clue that the axis is suppressed. I also hear, I stopped testosterone months ago, so it can't still be affecting me. It can. Recovery after exogenous testosterone or anabolic steroid use is variable. Some men bounce back quickly, some do not. That history needs to be on the table from the start. Then there's, hair loss meds can't affect hormones because my testosterone is normal. They can alter androgen effect even if total testosterone is not dramatically low. Symptoms still matter. Work it up properly. And probably the most common one of all, I'll just lose weight and fix it naturally. I'm all for lifestyle change. I recommend it constantly. But if you have persistent symptoms, low free or total testosterone, and suppressed LH, waiting passively for a perfect lifestyle turnaround may leave you feeling bad for a long time. In functional hypogonadism, combining lifestyle work with enclomiphene is often the more realistic plan. If you want the practical version of all this, keep it simple. First, inventory everything that can suppress the axis: opioids, past or current testosterone use, anabolic steroids, hair loss medications, antidepressants, steroids, heavy alcohol, poor sleep, excess body fat, rapid weight cuts, overtraining, chronic illness. Second, test correctly: morning, fasting, and repeat if abnormal. At minimum, I want total testosterone by LCMS/MS, free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LCMS/MS, LH, FSH, estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, and PSA if you're 40 or older. If BMI is over 25, insulin is helpful. When indicated, add prolactin, a lipid panel, and thyroid testing with TSH. Do not rely on a single total testosterone result and a shrug. Third, classify the pattern before talking treatment. High LH plus low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone points to secondary hypogonadism. If LH is below 8 and the testes are still capable, enclomiphene is often first line. If erections or urinary symptoms are also part of the picture, the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet may make sense. If the pattern is primary, that is a different conversation entirely. Fourth, monitor like an adult. If treatment starts, recheck labs after the first month, then every 6 months. Not because we like extra paperwork, because hormones are not set once and forgotten. This is episode 6, and by now you can probably hear the theme of the whole series. Low testosterone is rarely just a number, it's a pattern. It's symptoms plus labs plus mechanism. Last episode, we talked about the brain and testes connection. Today, we looked at all the common ways that connection gets muted. Next time, we'll get into low testosterone symptoms, the complete list most men don't recognize. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to Vidma for free, or order labs through our special offer at vidma.com.